Near the North Carolina state line, he found an old motel that advertised air conditioning, cable TV, and clean rooms for $29.99, though the sign was crooked and rusted around the edges. Inflation had arrived with the cable, because the room was now $40. Next door was an all-night cafe, where Ray choked down dumplings, the nightly special. After dinner, he sat on a bench in front of the motel, smoked another cigar, and watched the occasional car go by. Across the road and down 100 yards was an abandoned drive-in movie theater. The marquee had fallen and was covered with vines and weeds. The big screen and the fences around the perimeter had been crumbling for many years. Clanton had once had such a drive-in, just off the main highway entering town. It was owned by a chain from up north and provided the locals with the typical lineup of beach romps, horror flicks, kung fu action, movies that attracted the younger set and gave the preachers something to whine about. In 1970, the powers up north decided to pollute the South once again by sending down dirty movies. Like most things, good and bad, pornography arrived late in Mississippi. When the marquee listed the Cheerleaders, it went unnoticed by the passing traffic. When Triple X was added the next day, traffic stopped, and tempers rose in the coffee shops around the square. It opened on a Monday night to a small, curious, and somewhat enthusiastic crowd. The reviews at school were favorable, and by Tuesday, packs of young teenagers were hiding in the woods, many with binoculars, watching in disbelief. After Wednesday night prayer meeting, the preachers got things organized and launched a counterattack, one that relied more on bullying than on shrewd tactics. Taking a lesson from the civil rights protesters, a group they had absolutely no sympathy for, they led their flocks to the highway in front of the drive-in, where they carried posters and prayed and sang hymns and hurriedly scribbled down the license plate numbers of those cars trying to enter. Business was cut off like a faucet. The corporate guys up north filed a quick lawsuit seeking injunctive relief. The preachers put together one of their own, and it was no surprise that all of this landed in the courtroom of the Honorable Reuben V. Attlee, a lifelong member of the First Presbyterian Church, a descendant of the Attlees who had built the original sanctuary, and for the past 30 years, the teacher of a Sunday school class of old goats who met in the church's basement kitchen. The hearings lasted for 3 days. Since no Clanton lawyer would defend the Cheerleaders, the owners were represented by a big firm from Jackson. A dozen locals argued against the movie and on behalf of the preachers. 10 years later, when he was in law school at Tulane, Ray studied his father's opinion in the case. Following the most current federal cases, Judge Attlee's ruling protected the rights of the protesters with certain restrictions, and citing a recent obscenity case ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, he allowed the show to go on. Judicially, the opinion could not have been more perfect. Politically, it could not have been uglier. No one was pleased. The phone rang at night with anonymous threats. The preachers denounced Reuben Attlee as a traitor. Wait till the next election, they promised from their pulpits. Letters flooded the Clanton Chronicle and the Ford County Times, all castigating Judge Attlee for allowing such filth in their unblemished community. When the judge was finally fed up with the criticism, he decided to speak. He chose a Sunday at the First Presbyterian Church as his time and place, and word spread quickly, as it always did in Clanton. Before a packed house, Judge Attlee strode confidently down the aisle, up the carpeted steps, and to the pulpit. He was over 6 feet tall and thick, and his black suit gave him an aura of dominance. "A judge who counts votes before the trial should burn his robe and run for the county line," he began sternly. Ray and Forrest were sitting as far away as possible, in a corner of the balcony, both near tears. They had begged their father to allow them to skip the service, but missing church was not permissible under any circumstances. He explained to the less informed that legal precedents have to be followed, regardless of personal views or opinions, and that good judges follow the law. Weak judges follow the crowd. Weak judges play for the votes, and then cry foul when their cowardly rulings are appealed to higher courts. "Call me what you want," he said to a silent crowd, "but I am no coward." Ray could still hear the words, still see his father down there in the distance, standing alone like a giant. After a week or so, the protesters grew weary, and the porno ran its course. Kung Fu returned with a vengeance, and everybody was happy. 2 years later, Judge Attlee received his usual 80% of the vote in Ford County. Ray flipped the cigar into a shrub and walked to his room. The night was cool, so he opened a window and listened to the cars as they left town and faded over the hills.